Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. This says, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, it's good to be among God's people again this morning. It always is. The good news is, I think that spring has finally sprung. Okay, we have some warm weather coming, according to the always accurate weathermen. Okay? The bad news is, just because spring has sprung, doesn't mean Michigan's going to listen to it. Come on. I've come to the opinion that Michigan, unlike most people, it likes change. Okay? It really likes change. But there's one thing, okay? There's one thing that we as Christians can count on, and that is God never changes. Amen? How many of you are glad that, unlike Michigan, you know, God never changes? He's always the same. I am the Lord God, I changeth not. So, I wonder, if God never changes, and all Michigan weather does is change, does God really like Michigan? Anyways. Yeah, I believe no is the answer too. Okay, we're going to start a new series today on what is called the beloved 23rd Psalm. All right, I know I did one a few years ago, but this is totally different. What we're going to do is start to work our way through the 23rd Psalm, expounding and explaining and expanding on the 10 biblical promises that we find within the verses of this psalm. I want us to just, you know, soak it in, okay? Soak in these promises and just let them enhance our love for the Lord, amen? Because I believe when we hear the 10 promises that are in the 23rd Psalm, you can't help but have a greater love and admiration and appreciation for the Lord. I love to hear his promises. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The series is entitled, are you ready for this?
Ready.
The Lord is my shepherd. Took me a long time to come up with that one. All right? And the title of today's message is, my proven provider. All right? My proven provider. So let's begin today, as we begin every Sunday, by stating our Bible declaration. So if you would stand with me, please, and lift your Bible to heaven. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, you always make us sit down and then stand back up. But I tried it the other way, and it just seems like you're going to have to stand too long to sit. This is how we do it anyway. Why don't you raise your Bible to heaven? All right, are you ready?
Ready.
I hope so. All right, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. More than likely, excuse me, you've read or you've heard Psalm 23 at some time during your life, or maybe you can even quote it by heart. But I wonder, did you know that it contained 10 promises from the heart of God to you and I? In part one of The Lord is My Shepherd, I want to focus on God's promise of supernatural provision for our lives, because he is our proven provider. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. I shall not run. So please turn with me to Psalm 23, and we will begin reading at verse 1. And honestly, I actually think you would want to turn in your Bible this time instead of just reading it up here, because I think there's going to be some things that you're going to want to write down in the pages of your Bible, okay? You know, it's all right to write in your Bible. It really is. And we'll read out of the New King James Version of the Bible this morning, and maybe the other mornings I will read out of different versions. But are you ready?
Ready.
Are you there?
Ready.
That's good. That's something, because I've been trying to get there all my life. So you're there, huh? I know, Serena. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Glory to God. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all, how many?
All
the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Forever. That's a great psalm. Gary Timmer, would you come up and pray for the message, please?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, again, we are so grateful that we can come here in your name, Lord, and to worship you, to spend time in your presence. Father, as we start this new series, Lord, I thank you that your word will just come alive to us. Father, every word. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. I thank you that as he embarks on this series, God, that he will hear everything that you want him to say, Lord, and that he'll say it. Father, I thank you for your power, God, the power of the Holy Spirit, just working in him and moving through him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I can remember back when I was a child, okay, it was only a few years ago, when I was forced, heavy on the forced, okay, to memorize the 23rd Psalm. I mean, I was at Ferry Memorial Reformed Church in Montague, Michigan. You know, I was a young boy just loving every minute of Sunday school. And I had to recite it, right? In front of the whole of the Sunday school, not just in front of my class, but in front of everybody. You see, we were earning a bar for our badge or something like that. Don't you remember those things? You know, you had these bars that went down underneath, and if you had them hanging down to here, man, you were super spiritual. Well, I was working on my bar. It was up here. All right? And when I went up in front of everybody, I forgot everything I learned. Everything. I froze. Absolutely froze. Totally blank. There was no memory of any word of Psalm 23 in my mind. I couldn't call it up. Then, I was old enough to be embarrassed, by the way. My mother, intending good, got up and put her arm around me and told everyone that was laughing to stop laughing. And that I knew it perfectly well at home, which didn't help a whole lot, because I had double embarrassment. First, I couldn't recite it. Then my mommy had to come up and tell everybody that I couldn't recite it. Not really what you call a good memories growing up. But anyway, eventually I did get through it, and I earned my bar, and all ends well, right? Right. David begins the 23rd Psalm with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you think about it, it's really no surprise that David would refer to the Lord as being a shepherd, okay? Using this metaphor, if you will, it no doubt was birthed from his personal experience of living and serving as a shepherd, caring for his father's sheep while he was growing up. In other places in Scripture, the Lord, okay, is referred to as the king. Right? He's the king, or he's the judge, or the mighty deliverer. I think you've probably read the names that are used for God, just powerful names. But here, David refers to him as a shepherd. So first of all, in our study, I would for us to know what a shepherd really does. Are you with me? Okay, I'll try not to move, okay? All right. So, first of all, now this won't be an all-inclusive list, but this will be basically what shepherds do. A shepherd was and is a leader and a caretaker of the sheep. Amen? As he tends the sheep, he also feeds them and ensures that their basic needs, all of their basic needs, are met. Secondly, a shepherd also protects the flock from wolves and from bears or any other wild predator that would hunt the sheep by leading the sheep and guiding the sheep where he wants them to go, where he's pretty sure that they are protected. And thirdly, a shepherd always has a deep concern and care, not only for all his sheep collectively, but he also has a deep concern and care for each of his sheep individually. David is actually saying this, that this is how the Lord cares for you and I, because he is our good shepherd. Amen? How many of you say he's your good shepherd? And also that God cares for the body of Christ collectively, there's no doubt. No doubt that he does that. But he also cares for every single one of us individually. How many are happy for that this morning? Amen? The Bible says, you know, that he knows each of our coming out, and he knows each of our goings in Psalm 139, and that he even has a count of every hair that's on our heads. You know, that's told in Luke 12:7. He knows when one of us strays away and gets lost. And how many of you are glad that he comes after the lost sheep? Amen? And he's mindful of everything. Say everything.
Everything.
That's going on in our lives. And you know what? He still loves us. Amen? You know that terrible thing that you did the other day? He knew you were going to do that, and he still loves you. He still called you to be his child. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So, since the Lord is our good shepherd, right? Amen? What does that make us? Say it again. Say it like you mean it. That's right. It makes us, yeah. Bah makes you sheep. Amen. Now, we've talked a little bit about what a shepherd does, but what do we actually know about sheep? Not a whole lot, I don't think. And I've left out a couple of these, okay? There are actually 10 basic, or specific, I should say, characteristics that apply to every single sheep, absolutely everywhere, okay? Now, please resist the temptation to get offended at these characteristics that I'm about to share with you. Some of them aren't what you call edifying. I left a couple of them out, too. And by the way, these are just observations, not accusations. They're observations that I found, okay? And so they're really not my own observations and truly not my own accusations. Are you ready?
Ready.
I better get more to say yeah than that.
Ready.
Are you sure you're ready? Okay. Here we go. Number one. Say number one. Sheep can be slow to learn. Any shepherd can tell you the countless stories about how his sheep and how sheep can easily get themselves into very painful situations and yet fail to learn their lesson from it. I know that doesn't sound familiar to any of you, because once you go through something, you never go through it twice, right? Because you learn. Okay. For instance, a sheep may get caught in the barbed wire while trying to break through a fence, or maybe they will fall into a ditch and get stuck there. And after the shepherd painstakingly rescues the sheep, it isn't at all uncommon for that same sheep to go out the very next day and try the exact same thing again and get the exact same result again. Sheep are slow learners. Okay? Am I okay so far? Number two, sheep are demanding. If you have ever watched a lamb when it is nursing off from its mother, okay, almost as soon as it's born, this cute, wonderful baby lamb begins to violently suck its mother's udders in this insatiable demand to be fed. And that never leaves them. Never, ever leaves them. They always have that. And as they grow up, they demand grass, and then they demand more grass, and then once they're done with that, they want more grass. Day after day, night after night. When there is snow on the ground, they will aggressively demand the shepherd to keep feeding them and keep their trough full. And if their feeding trough is empty, even for just a short time, they begin to bleat and cry incessantly. They will even stampede the shepherd when he shows up demanding that he feed them. Sheep are demanding. Okay. Number three. Sheep are stubborn. Imagine that. Have you ever tried to move a sheep? I've been told it's like trying to move an elephant. I remember one time, now get this is crazy. I was sitting in my house in Rothbury, and this lady comes to the door and says, "Will you go get my cow? It ran away." I'm going, "I don't even know who you are. What do you mean?" You know, she goes, "No, will you go get my cow? It's down on the street, down over there." And me, of course, being the man that I was, decided to go get this lady's cow. Well, I tracked that stinking cow through a swamp, all right? I mean, water that deep. I'm freezing. But I tracked that cow through the swamp and through a field, and I finally found the cow out on the side road just sitting there or standing there. Okay, so I went up to the cow, and the cow had a broken, you know, a rope hanging from it. I grabbed that rope, and I said, you know, "Here, cow. Come on, cow." You know what he did? He stinking sat down. He sat down. We hooked that cow up to a pickup truck. He still wouldn't get up. Finally, I don't know how some guy did it. He must have been a cow whisperer or something. He came up and he got the cow to walk home, and well, I went home freezing that day. I don't know why I shared that with you, but sheep are stubborn, okay? And if you've ever tried to lead a sheep, then you know how they can be completely stubborn, pulling on the rope and not at all willing to be led anywhere. Not willing at all to hear something that could make their life, never mind, sheep are stubborn. Number four. Geez, I'm only on number four. Sheep are strong, all right? Don't let their skinny legs fool you, all right? Although you may think sheep are easy to handle because of that, they can knock you down flat. I see, I know nobody in here has Instagram because that's, I know you're all Christians. But it's so funny, I see on Instagram when people are trying to do things with sheep, they just stand there. They turn their back and they run right over them, you know? Anyway, sheep are strong. Shepherds have been flattened by running sheep. They have. They've been knocked on their backs and left face down in the dirt. A sheep's butting head, you know, them doing that is both natural and a learned behavior. Once they see another sheep butting you or the shepherd or whatever, the rest of the sheep will start butting the shepherd. The fact is, sheep can be extremely aggressive and have been known to cause serious injuries, even death to people, because sheep are strong, all right? Number five, sheep tend to go astray and get lost, all right? Jesus himself alluded to this wandering tendency of sheep, and he was talking about us. He said in Luke 15:4, "What manner of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" And especially here, you and I are just like sheep. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." What am I saying? Sheep tend to go astray and get lost. Amen? They go astray and get lost. Number six, short one. Sheep are unpredictable. The moment you think you know the direction sheep are heading, they surprise you and they go the opposite way. They do, really. It's hard to predict what sheep will do. Sheep are completely unpredictable. And I'm not saying this is any of you. This is probably a congregation somewhere else that I'm talking about. All right? This is the best one, okay? Number seven. Say number seven. Okay. Sheep tend to follow the crowd. People have said, when one sheep decides to start running, then they all decide to start running. If you were to ask one of the sheep, "Why did you start running?" the sheep would just simply tell you, "Well, because he started running." And every other sheep in the pack would echo the same sentiment one after the other. When you get to the last sheep, he would just say, "I don't know. I'm running because everybody's running." Okay? I saw all the other sheep running. After all, I decided to do the same thing. When one sheep moves, the rest will follow. Even if it doesn't seem to be a good idea. The flocking and following instinct of the sheep is so strong that it once caused the death of over 400 sheep in Turkey. Because they all followed. Because one sheep got the bright idea to try to cross a 100-foot deep ravine. The 399 sheep accompanying him instinctively chose to follow. And all of them plunged to their death one after another. Sheep tend to follow the crowd. Okay. We're getting close, okay? Number 8. Sheep are restless. In fact, they are so restless that they will continue to roam about into the late hours of the night searching for food. Similarly, God's people are restless like sheep. It's hard to get them to be still and to rest, okay? Because sheep are restless. That's a characteristic of sheep. They just have to always be on the go and always be moving. Number 9, sheep are dependent on a shepherd. Although many animals can cope with, and they can actually even thrive in the wilderness and in the wild without any close supervision, sheep absolutely cannot do that, okay? They are completely dependent on their shepherd and cannot. They cannot live without him. They can't. In the same way as believers, we are totally dependent and cannot survive without the tender care of our good shepherd. Amen? Jesus Christ. Sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. I am dependent upon the shepherd. You are dependent upon the shepherd. Amen? Amen. Number 10, the one you've been waiting for. Sheep are the same everywhere. You can travel the world over and find sheep being raised in any number of different countries. But whether they are in America or Russia or Turkey or Central Asia or anywhere else, they are the same everywhere. They have the same characteristics. They have the same behaviors. Likewise, as God's sheep, we share very similar qualities and modes of conduct. We really do. And some of our struggles are even the same as the ones that I just read to you. It just might be hard to admit it, okay? Yet through it all, through all these things that God knows we are going to do, through all these things that God knows is our good shepherd, that his sheep are going to do, he loves you, hallelujah, he loves you through it all just the same because he is our good shepherd, amen? Amen. And as our good shepherd, he promises us in that first verse, supernatural provision. Again, the first of the 10 promises that are found in Psalm 23 is that of God is our supernatural provider, whatever we need, say whatever. Whatever. Come on, whatever. Whatever we need, he will provide. Okay, again, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice that, how he says that. What he doesn't say is the Lord is their shepherd. And he doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. No, David didn't say that. He personalized it, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? And I really think that we would just do good this morning to echo that sentiment, that it would be good for us to personalize that promise and begin declaring the same thing over our lives. And say it with me, will you? The Lord is my shepherd. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Jesus himself confirmed the promise of supernatural provision in his Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew's Gospel. Now, I've got it written down here that I'm going to read like 10 verses. I might read only a few, okay, so that you just get the idea. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. How are you doing with that one? Therefore, I tell you, if Jesus came in here today and he stood here up in front and said, you guys, don't worry about your life. You think you'd do it? You think that problem that you have financially isn't something that you'd still think about? Don't you think you still think about those things that are going on within your family that aren't good? Amen? But Jesus says this, man. It's amazing. He says, Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Amen? I mean, we should all have that on our mirror at home, you know? Hey, don't worry. I can't add a single hour to my life, so why am I worrying? Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. Maybe I'll read the whole thing. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, now think about that. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry. He says it again. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. He knows that we have to have stuff to wear, stuff to eat. He knows that. But seek first. This is the best part of this, really. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Praise God. And all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, be a Christian. Yes. Amen. Be a Christian, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. How many of you have found out that what you're worrying about today is still there tomorrow, so there's no reason to worry about it? Okay. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Jesus made it very clear that God, our Heavenly Father, our Good Shepherd, is going to provide all. How many?
All.
He's going to provide all of our needs, and that we shouldn't be concerned about any of them. Not a one. These words that came directly from the lips of Jesus, okay, they agree with David's declaration that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. The phrase, I shall not want, carries with it the idea of not lacking anything. Nothing at all. In fact, that's how the Amplified Bible translates it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. Amen. I mean, glory to God. What a promise. Amen? What a promise. God has very clearly articulated that it is his will to be our ultimate provider. I mean, no doubt David was speaking from personal observation and experience in his life when he declared in Psalm 37:25, I have been young, now I am old. I get to say that now, unfortunately. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his descendants begging bread. Amen. Glory to God. And Moses made these similar declarations to the children of Israel as they were coming out of their, or coming to an end of their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. He stated in Deuteronomy 2:7, the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have what? You have lacked nothing. Say that. I've lacked nothing. You see, if you lack nothing. I want you to know the same God that we serve, okay, the same God that we sing about every Sunday morning and hopefully Monday through Saturday as well, that if that God was able to provide for the millions of Israelites that were in the desert, okay, he can certainly take care of you and I. Amen? Oh, come on. They had terrible circumstances. We don't have that terrible circumstances, but he takes care of us through that and in that. How many of you believe that he takes care of you this morning? How many of you know that you would be going through something a heck of a lot worse now if you didn't know Jesus? Amen? Amen? Okay. Okay. He can take care of us. Again and again in his word, he reminds us of his willingness and his ability to give us what we need when we need it. The problem is a lot of times we think we need what we want. How am I going to say this? Many times We think we need it before we get it. But his timing is perfect. Amen? It's perfect. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. I love this next part. Say it with me. No good thing, start over. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Glory to God. Glory to God. How good is it to know that God loves you and he cares for you and he provides for your every need? Amen? Amen. One little girl at one time was trying to quote the 23rd Psalm, and she inadvertently said this. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." That's all I want. And it's funny because her misquote is actually true. Amen? It's actually true. I want you to know this morning, if the Lord is your shepherd, you really do have everything that you could ever want. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God will. Say he will.
Amen.
One more time. God will.
Amen.
In Philippians 4:19, he will. It says this. And my God shall supply. You ought to know this one too, but plus it's up there. Make me feel proud, okay? Say it with me. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply some of your need. And my God might supply some. No. And my God shall supply what? All of your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ. He's pretty rich, amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's, without any doubt, you know, all of us go through difficult times, and I want you to know that David was no exception. Yet out of a heart of gratefulness for all that God had done for him already, he could go through those hard times that were ahead of him. David employed some healthy self-talk, okay, during times of trouble, reminding himself of the Lord's goodness in his life. I want you to know this morning, it's good, all right? It's good to do some healthy self-talk during times of trouble. It really is. It's good to do some remembering when you think you're all alone. Psalm 103, 2-5. Maybe you're feeling alone. Maybe you're feeling like you're not going to make it. You know, maybe you just have a negative outlook. What would happen if you said this? Bless the Lord, O my soul. I mean, when you're feeling way down, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Glory to God, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He's our supernatural provider. He gives to us. Glory to God. So if you are, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap there. Amen. Amen. So if you are a born-again child of God, how many of you here are a born-again child of God? That, at least that ought to get you all to raise your hands. And if you're not raising your hand, come see me afterwards. Okay? So if you're a born-again child of God, you have been granted these extraordinary benefits through Christ Jesus, okay? What things? He forgives all your sin. How many are glad that he does that? How many are glad that he doesn't reserve certain sins to... No, he forgives all your sin. And he heals all your diseases. He has rescued you out of Satan's slave market of sin. Glory to God. And poured out loving kindness and mercy on your life. On top of that, he's ready. God's ready, and he's willing, and he's able to provide the material blessings you need to strengthen and empower you. He is your ultimate provider. Glory be to God. Taking the original meanings, okay, of the Greek words in Philippians 4:19, and I won't go through all that. But if we put them all together, this is what you get. Okay? This is what you get. But my God will supply all your needs so completely that he will eliminate all your deficiencies. I'm not done. He will meet all your physical and tangible needs until you are so full that you have no more capacity to hold anything else. Glory. He will supply all your needs. How many?
All.
all your needs until you are totally filled, packed full, like Thanksgiving, you know? Okay. So that you are totally filled, packed full, and overflowing to the point of bursting at the seams and spilling over. If you are God's child, He is your good shepherd. Glory to God. I'm glad to be a sheep this morning. Amen? I don't care those 10 things that all sheep do. I'm glad to be in that position because I have a good shepherd that provides for me supernaturally. When it doesn't look like I can make it, when it looks like I've done everything wrong, He still has supernatural provision for me. Glory be to God. Give Him a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's all I got. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Heavy on the mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The Lord is watching over you and I, okay? And He will provide for all of your needs when you need it, as you need it, as much as you need it, because He's what? He's the good shepherd. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, my God. God, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. God, you are so good to us. Sometimes, God, I know I have to say I'm sorry that I don't realize what you do for me. That sometimes I just look at things and think there's no way that I can ever get out of this. But then, Lord, you do something, and God, it just all changes. When it looks like it's all over, and there's nothing more that you can do, God still has supernatural provision for you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would cause each one of us, God, to remember, to do some good, healthy self-talk out of your word, so that we can again remember, and so that we can praise you when times are really bad as well as when times are really good. God, it's only because of you that probably most of us are standing here today. God, you're a God of grace and forgiveness and restoration. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that. God, just help us to remember throughout the week and keep saying this one verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you're driving down the road, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you're in a fight with your wife, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When work doesn't look like it's going to go so awful good, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want in any situation. You supernaturally provide for me. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Prayer partners, if you would come to the front.